Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The Chiefs get a much-needed win, but there is so much work to do, and the schedule isn't getting any softer. Hanging 42 points on the Eagles is nice, but not all that rare. With the Bills coming to town Sunday night, featuring a defense that's already pitched a pair of shutouts, the Chiefs will need to be a more complete football team. Can the defense improve? We asked Dan Weber to analyze that for us on the Football Feast. Also, in Columbia, Ole Mizzou gets embarrassed against Tennessee. Then head coach Eli Drinkwitz makes it worse by firing his defensive line coach. This is a terrible look for sure, and it's making a lot of people rethink their love affair with the Tigers head coach. In Manhattan, Skylar Thompson was back at quarterback, but K-State loses for the second game in a row. The Cats look like they're going to win some games going forward, but this was disappointing, losing to OU. The Cats thought they could win this one. And baseball has reached the postseason. It starts with two epic wildcard games. The Yankees and the Red Sox play. That's crazy good fun. And the 106-win Dodgers play the surging Cardinals. We're going to dive into whether this playoff format is fair or not. It's brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. If you have an office that has copiers, IT, mailing systems, phone systems, 360 can make you more efficient and cost-effective. Call Mark and his team at 913-745-5344 and get a complimentary analysis of what you're doing at your office and do business with people you know, great conservatives like 360documentsolutions.com. They'll do a complete review of everything you're doing, including your current costs, and offer you up a solution that could bring real and tangible benefits to your organization. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Back Nine Development, I was at the Friend You Can't Mention on the podcast, new condo, the Solheim at Grandmere on Saturday. We had a little pregame lunch there. What a spectacular place. He's up on the third floor. You can see for miles out over the Colbert Hills Golf Course and the Flint Hills. Beautiful condominiums. Back9development.com. Great investment properties in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Check it out online, back9development.com. Oh, Chris and my buddies at B-Stock are hooking me up with some new TVs for our new house. We're going to be moving here in just a few weeks. Chris is taking care of everything. It's so easy to work with his team at B-Stock, whether you need one television, one computer, one item, or a whole bunch. B-Stock.net has it all. The outlet stores in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road, or order anything online to be shipped anywhere in the world. B-Stock.net. And of course, Fry Orthodontics. Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team, well, they don't just do great work as orthodontists. They're a great organization that runs on time because your time is valuable. Time is money. And if you're going to Fry Orthodontics with your child or you're getting Invisalign to straighten your teeth and fix your smile, Fry Ortho knows you're busy. And an appointment is an appointment. That's why you're on time every time at Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com. Okay, the Chiefs win, and that's great. This season is yet to be determined. They got to be a much more complete team than they were against the Eagles if they're going to beat the Bills on Sunday night. Stan Weber's here with the Football Feast. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, it's time to feast, and it's a victory Monday as Dan Weber joins us. The Chiefs improving, the offense incredible, 42-30 over the Philadelphia Eagles. But wow, do they have some work to do, and I'm sure Stan is going to chronicle that for us as we go. Hello, Stan. How are you this week?
I'm doing well, Kevin, and to add to that point, I predicted 31-20, so I was 10 points off-ish on both teams. So it shows you that the defense didn't quite do as well as I thought they would, and but the offense made up for it. So nice offensive performance, and let's don't forget, as we break this down, it's fun to talk about the details because they matter when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, like the Chiefs are, right? But they did win, and it's the NFL. So congratulations. Don't ever take for granted winning in the NFL.
Well, if we're going to do predictions, I predicted 42-20, and Jessica, who rarely gives me credit for anything, said with about 2 minutes to go or a minute and a half to go, wow, your prediction. It was 42-23 at that point.
Oh.
And then the 4 seconds left touchdown ruined my prediction. I had it 42-20. I was close. Look, the Eagles aren't very good.
You got credit from the right person.
Yeah,
you
right.
You got credit from the right person.
Yeah, she would have never said it in front of anybody else, but she did say it to me, so it's fantastic. You know, let's start with the good. The offense, simply incredible, and I think they're kind of remaking what they are. It is now, except with the exception of the last touchdown, it's about long drives, sustained drives, taking care of the football, converting third downs. The Chiefs' offense is changing right before our eyes because why? Because defenses have changed the way they defend the Chiefs. Am I accurate in that assessment?
Yes, you are, but I would put an and in there, like an A and a B. They're playing cover two. They're saying we can put two safeties back, keep everything underneath, and slow the Chiefs down, and that you won't be willing to run the ball. Andy Reid never loved to run the ball, even when he won his 100 games plus with the Eagles. He was the first one to start passing. Obviously, he wants the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. So it is true that when they're playing that cover two, the Chiefs need to show that they have the ability to run the football. And this offensive line being younger and a little bit more run style than maybe past Chiefs lines feels good doing this. And then the second reason, my and B, Kevin, is there are many teams around the country, college and pro, that talk about protecting their defense and using clock and methodically moving the ball down the field helps protect the defense. And I think that's a second factor right here, that I think there's a realization that not only are they playing cover two, but let's keep our defense off the field and keep them as fresh as they can be, because they do not stop many plays, red zone, third down, et cetera. And so the Chiefs really kind of had that double whammy when they kept the football. They limited the plays that the Eagles had. When the Eagles had the ball, they were very effective, but they had fewer plays because the Chiefs' offense kept the ball so long.
Patrick Mahomes talked a great deal after the game yesterday about doing the little things. He said, quote, the NFL will correct you real quick, unquote, if you're not doing the little things. I thought they did some little things on offense better, but I still see some miscues. I'm not going to nitpick the offense, but there were two plays where Tyreek Hill didn't know the play. And the guy had a crazy great day, 186 yards, the touchdowns. It was fantastic. But I don't know how you can be a professional football player and not know the play. And we saw that twice yesterday with Hill. We'll get to the defense in a little bit because that's a much bigger problem. But when we're talking about attention to detail and the little things, how do you not know what the play is at this level?
Well, I think that there's reads on the run. Okay, when a corner rolls up and you're supposed to run a hitch curl route. The corner rolls up, they say, hey, automatically turn that into a void, go straight up the field, and I'll hit you in the void in the cover two. And oftentimes the mistakes are made because they didn't read after the ball snapped. So it looked like that time Patrick Mahomes said, hey, the corner stepped up on you, blow past him. There's a hole back there. Safety's not getting there. We got a touchdown. And I think Tyreek's saying, oh, man, I got that. I should have read the route the same way you do. It's much more complicated after the snap. We heard Kelce say we make up crap out there on the field. They're allowed to do that a little bit at that tight end position. But there's a lot of reads, Kevin, that occur in college in the pros, and the guy's got to be on the same page. So I think that's mostly what happens. Those are the details you want to practice a little bit extra to get. But before we leave the offense, I want to point this out. On a day where we could talk about good offensive line play, moving the ball, creating big holes and everything else, I do think if you go back and look at the Eagles' defense, Kevin, before we get too excited about the Chiefs' offense and what they did, the Chiefs played against a defense that played against the Dallas Cowboys the week before, and they will not come out of that cover two. Doesn't matter if it's against the Chiefs or something like that. They just want to play that zone defense, and their pass rushers are awesome, but they're looking to rush the passer and not to stop the run. The linebackers aren't very good, and Dallas ran up and down the field. So the Chiefs attacked a weakness on the Eagles a little more than you want to talk about, and acting like the Chiefs just are a great run offense now. That's not necessarily true. But to my biggest point, Kevin, I want to put this in the back of your mind about this offensive line. It's consistent with what we've talked about before. They've got a new offensive line, but Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher were very good tackles, and they don't have them anymore. The fact that they've revamped their line, spent time and money, and got depth that position, that's good, right? But the Chiefs line wasn't the Super Bowl line the last couple of years. That was when they were really injured. The real line the Chiefs have had the last couple of years is better than this version. And this version is one step back and now trying to work its way forward. And what's happening at the tackle position, Kevin, is they are only able to try to secure an inside step and force the rusher to go around the outside. That's what they've got to do, but they're letting those guys get a free run around the outside. If you drew an arc like a circle, if we were in geometry, and drew that arc, that NFL pass rush on the outside, you just mark that down if there's a little dot out there, and you watch teams go there time after time after time. And every once in a while, was the first play of the third quarter, both defensive ends just arrived at Patrick Mahomes at the same time. They are not getting dominated. There's not variability with the blocking up front. They don't ever get stoned and just create a wall of five guys. It is always two guys flying around Patrick Mahomes' backside, which means, Kevin, he doesn't have the ability to decide what he wants to do. He has to step up every time. To scramble sideways, he's got to step up and then go sideways. And this is, it's not good. He's under a lot more pressure than you think. How about the scramble on third and 15 or whatever for a first down early in the game? Did he run? Maybe it's third and 19 and he ran for a first down. You know, they're not securing the passing game up front, Kevin. They're not very good because they're allowing an outside rush all the time, forcing Patrick Mahomes to step up, which puts tons of pressure on Tooney and Creed Humphrey and those guys to keep a perfect wall in there. But other teams are going to have better success against the Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes always has to scoot up in the pocket to throw. You're more likely to knock down the ball. Maybe he can't see as well. He doesn't get to dictate how he's going to linger and back up and throw the football. So just, I want you to watch that, Kevin. I think they've got some issues. Every down, their tackle's not able to stop people from rushing the same way consistently. And it's not a good thing for Patrick Mahomes in the pocket.
Eric Fisher had a terrific game for the Colts yesterday. I still don't know why he's not here. Can you get to the bottom
Doesn't
of that? Do you know?
Do
you know why Eric Fisher is not here? What exactly happened? I know.
Maybe,
he was injured.
I don't know. Did our doctors say they didn't think he'd come back fast enough? Did they? You know, we really haven't heard. It's as if he just faded away, and we didn't hear if it's a contract issue or what. But I don't disagree with your statement at all. I don't have any good conclusion. I must tell you, he was a disappointment as a number one overall pick. Okay, compared to getting a number one overall pick quarterback. Okay, there's. You talked about that when he was drafted, right? What? A guy from Central Michigan, a tackle? Are you kidding me? But I tell you what, he was very good at the end. Mitchell Schwartz was awesome as a right tackle before he had back issues. I'm only pointing out that even though they've invested a lot of money, and this line might get better, they're probably better run blockers, they're still an issue. The weakness on the Chiefs' offense is the offensive line, and it's really the tackles. The tackles are not up to NFL par, and it may come back to haunt you when he gets in the playoffs.
Patrick Mahomes also, after the game yesterday, made some comments that you and I have talked about, and I think we saw this a couple of years ago, even in the Super Bowl winning year. I think we saw some of it last year, and we've certainly seen it this year. He's finally said what we've all been kind of thinking as we watch the Chiefs. He basically said, when you win every week, you sort of lose your edge on how to go compete and your appreciation for how hard it is in this league. Do you think something good will happen of the 1-2 start? I mean, the Chiefs are, they're 2-2 and in last place. The Tennessee Titans just lost to the Jets. They're 2-2 and in first place. I mean, the Chiefs aren't in any real trouble here yet. At 2-2, they're fine. They're only one game back of probably the best record in the AFC. We'll see what the Raiders do against the Chargers. But, I mean, is he right? Can you take this thing for granted when winning has been this easy, this fast for these young players? Is he right?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the Rocky movies are a lot of fun, I think, to watch, but the sequencing of the Rocky movies are really a good example of what happens with players in the NFL or Major League Baseball. But let's stick with the NFL. You know, you start out fighting and wanting an opportunity, and then you have success, and then now you're in, you know, Rocky II and then Rocky III, and suddenly you're a rich guy that everyone loves and wants to pat you on the back. I mean, how can you have the edge? You're not going to run the streets of Philadelphia and go up and hit carcasses and stuff like that. Are you kidding me? And it's the same thing. It's human nature. And it's still the one thing we got to watch with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's going to fall into a category of taking things for granted and not keeping his edge. I don't think it's going to happen because he's been around the elite his whole life in athletics. And I think he understands that they're just human beings. You got to continue to work. But it's very rare. You've seen a lot more of Peyton Manning in our face with those Monday night telecasts, okay? And Eli. and you get an understanding of what excellence was with those guys, and they just would not take their eye off the ball. Then you hear about Tom Brady and the big game he had on Sunday night back with Belichick, and you just look at everything that you hear about him and how he does stuff, and his concentration level is maybe even better than it was before. They know in the NFL the difference between being a Super Bowl champion and being a 11-5 team that's just a nice playoff team is just a millimeter difference. And so as a football team, I think the Chiefs are having fun. They're taking it for granted. They act like winning divisions is just their God-given right, Kevin. And until Alex Smith came along with Andy Reid, who won the division twice in a row in the history of their program. So I think Patrick Mahomes will stay focused, and that will allow him to continue to be great. As the money and the commercials pour in, as the opportunities to be in Hollywood or anywhere he wants to go permeate, it's not going to be a problem. He's still going to want to work and win. But will the rest of the group follow him? And that's what he's going to have to continue to do, is push that button. As long as Andy Reid's around, I think they have an opportunity. And to answer your question, is there any good that could come of starting off 1-2? I think so. I think all you have to do is look back to when Andy Reid was here with Alex Smith and they lost 5 in a row and came back and then won like 10 straight and won the first playoff game in Chiefs history for a long time. You know, they got that big win against Houston, and they really came back with a new vigor. And they have that possibility. They can do that because they've got the players, Kevin, that I think are underperforming. I think that Chris Jones looked very average yesterday, very average, almost lethargic at times, not hustling and running. They may have taken a great defensive tackle and turned him into an average tackle and average end. Again, you don't have to give up on him, but that was not a high-level performance. Tyrann Mathieu right now, I don't even notice him out on the field other than those couple of interceptions that he had against the Ravens. Get back and play at a high level. Andy Reid, I think, can get this football team in concentration mode. And fortunately, I don't want to take things for granted. I sound kind of like the players. I do think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to win their division. And so they do have room to breathe. You do not have to be the number one seed to go to the Super Bowl, Kevin. When you're great and you're hitting on all cylinders at the right time of the year, you're fine. Go back and look at Tampa Bay last year. They went on the road. They did a road tour until the Super Bowl, but their defense had picked up the pace and was the best in the NFL the latter part of the season, and Tom Brady and the offense were going. So the Chiefs still have plenty of time, and this may end up being a good thing to keep the concentration level high and let them understand you can't take things for granted.
Okay, the defense is terrible. It's 2018 terrible. The Eagles put 30 on the board, and there was a garbage touchdown at the end, so maybe that's a little unfair, but it's really not, because Jalen Hurts is not a great quarterback. This is not a great offense, and they just went up and down the field all day against Kansas City. It just sort of occurred to me yesterday, you know, I've been watching the Chiefs this year. They started reminding me of Patrick Mahomes' Texas Tech teams. That's kind of what the Chiefs have looked like. They were losing games. You know, Mahomes would be great, but not pull it out and win it. The defense is no good, blah, blah, blah. We saw that with Mahomes when he was at Texas Tech a lot. And that's sort of what the Chiefs reminded me of three games in. But they get the win in this game, even though the defense doesn't force a punt. This is the first game in years in the NFL where nobody punted. Nobody. Now, the Chiefs had a couple of games in 18, and I remember a playoff game they played when Alex Smith was quarterback where they didn't force their opponent to punt. We've seen games like that where the Chiefs' defense is that bad. I kind of feel like this is, look, it's personnel, it's a lot of different things, Stan, but isn't it mostly just, like, systemic? I mean, when Andy Reid is so offense-heavy in the way he coaches, in what he believes in, and the way they spend their money on the offensive side of the ball, isn't this just basically what the organization is? They didn't review a play yesterday that would have been a takeaway. There's a mentality to that, Stan. There's a mentality of, oh, let them score, give us the ball back, we'll go score. You see it in everything they do. Isn't this sort of part of the system, is they don't value defense?
It definitely is a reality that you're talking about, and it's not something that anybody wants to be a part of. When they walk around the facility, they don't have like one group wearing different colored jerseys. Like, you have to wear white clothing and only the good guys, the offense, get to wear a red or something like that. It's not what they want, but it's what Andy Reid is. Kevin, I mean, he's an offensive guru. He's drawing stuff up on paper napkins when he's on vacation. Guess what he's drawn up? offensive plays, not defensive plays. Okay. When your head guy is brilliant at offense and thinks from the offensive standpoint and starts, you know, even some press conferences, he doesn't like to say much at all, but once in a while say, well, we really didn't do what we needed to today. We weren't there. And he almost has to put the word on offense. He doesn't even think about the whole team at first. It's the offense. Now, he's still a great head coach, and he's trying to create a respect on the defensive side. And I think he believes in Spagnuolo. And the good thing is Coach Spagnuolo feels very comfortable in his skin. He doesn't feel second class. He knows Andy Reid wants him to get stuff done. That helps. But then you go out to practice, Kevin, and what does practice look like? When you got one of the greatest offenses in history, when you think about the last 5 years, even Alex Smith last year, he threw the ball downfield like you've hardly seen in NFL in history, right? I mean, he killed it. His passer rating and everything else. Guess what's happening in practice? The offense is killing the defense all the time. You just can't help but say, who's better around here? What really matters? But the defense has got to play better, or it's a big problem. You know, one thing you can do when you're not very good on defense is be good in the red zone, force field goals, right? The Chiefs aren't. One thing you can do is make third down plays. The Chiefs aren't. They aren't able to stop people on third down or fourth down. They don't make the big plays at those times. Tyrann Mathieu used to clean things up for them. Chris Jones would blow something out. Frank Clark might get lucky and get a pass rush. Those things aren't not happening right now. And I think when you look at the Chiefs defense, something that's a little worrisome to me also about getting this thing fixed is they have no capability of playing a base defense and having success. I mean, once in a while, Kevin, you just got to rush four, drop back into a zone, or play one of the exotic coverages. So it's okay to play man on the right side and play zone on the left, bracket guys. I mean, these are complicated defenses. I don't want to make it sound too simple. But, you know, basic defense, go back and watch your tape, Kevin. They never can stop anybody on a basic defense, ever. I mean, there's always a receiver wide open for a 12-yard catch or a run of 7 yards. They have to be exotic and blitz and take chances every down. For me, what that causes a problem with is your defense never learns how to play the fundamentals well. We talked about the psychology being something that's hard. If you're almost a second-class citizen, you're not thought of being excellent and needing to be excellent to win ball games. Hey, we'll still win without you. That's not good. But the other thing is, Kevin, at some point, if you play a linebacker or safety or defensive line, every position's got a book of fundamentals. And playing those fundamentals, taking on blocks with the right shoulder, keeping your gap integrity, knowing where your leverage help is from your buddy, read and react to what the play is, tackle with form tackling, all those things, those fundamentals still matter. They don't practice them very much, but the Chiefs are getting further and further away from that. If that makes sense, go back and watch the tape. It's all about exotic blitzes. They'll show cover two, but the safeties will be really coming down and inverting, and they're bringing a blitz. They don't ever stop anybody for a 1 yard gain or an incomplete pass in base defense. And there is a problem. You got to be exotic, and I think you even lose your fundamentals. You lose your fundamentals and you play the exotics less. How many missed tackles do you see when a blitz occurs and they get the quarterback to get rid of the ball? He flips it out to a running back, at the line of scrimmage, Kevin. Okay, now on your HD TV, you probably can't see where's the force? Where are the players to come make the tackle? Oh, here comes the Chief. All right, good. He's going to gain 2 yards. And all of a sudden, you see the Chief on his face sliding by and the receiver or running back getting another 7 yards. How many times do you see that? All the time. That's the fundamentals. Now, just go over and tackle him. If you're good at the fundamentals, they made a nice play, they get 2 yards, not 8 yards. It's hardly ever that we see the Chief's first tackler make the tackle. So there's some major, major problems. This is Bob Sutton 2.0. That's what the defense looks like. Pick your year, 17, 18, whichever year, they are awful. And right now, sitting as the worst defense in the whole league, basically, Kevin.
Well, and they might be on their way to historically bad the way they're going, but it becomes a bigger problem. I got an email from a listener who said, look, the defense is not good, but they're not as bad as people think. It's all these fourth downs that are killing them. And I thought, well, that's not new. The Ravens started this 3 or 4 years ago against the Chiefs. They went for fourth downs. They tried an onside kick. So teams have done this, but now it's every single opponent is playing the Chiefs and saying, you know what? We're just going to go for fourth downs today because we know We're not stopping their offense. They're going to score 30, so we have to take chances. It's so easy against the Chiefs. I mean, if you have fourth and two against this defense, why would you not go for it? I mean, that ultimately the question is, why would you not challenge the Chiefs defense? Every opponent is doing this now. We're seeing statistically, and this is funny because you and I have been talking about this for 20 years, Stan. We love offense. We love quarterback play. We love going for fourth downs. Statistically speaking, these are the right moves, no matter who you're playing. But against the Chiefs, they're really the right moves. This defense has all kinds of problems because they're going to be facing fourth downs all over the place this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And let's, you know, we say we, you're being very humble. You were the guy, you alone were the guy standing on the table saying, go, go, go. Go for 2 points, go for fourth downs. If you're going to be an offensive team, go win the game and those type of things. And now it is becoming so acceptable. It's unbelievable. I valued field goals. I valued some field position much more than you did 15 years ago. But now it is Katie bar the door. I think some coaches have had the pendulum swing too far and are making some stupid decisions. But in the context of the Kansas City Chiefs, which we're talking right now, you get one more down. I mean, it's the math people are pretty simple, right? You get three chances to make 10, or you get four chances to make 10.
Right.
Well, I mean, the math is outrageous, right? I mean, that's 33% more downs you have. What? Yeah, four downs versus three, the average yards you got to get, all those things. But there are some unbelievable plays that are made when it is third and short or fourth down. You get nervous, they get nervous. Well, that's going out the window, too, because the coaches are in the whole week going, don't be nervous because Patrick Mahomes is going to go score 7 the other way. So if we give up the ball going at the 40-yard line in, they're going to be there in a couple downs. And if we don't kick a field goal and go for it at the 10 going in, the Chiefs defense gives us enough opportunity. Our odds aren't too bad. And Patrick Mahomes is going to go the other way and score 7 anyway. So we got to score 35 points to beat these guys. Guys, don't be nervous. We're going for it. Coaches, don't be nervous. We got to keep it up. And another example, our buddy Todd Lebo, K-State just played Oklahoma. Oklahoma has had, I think the number is 18 fourth down tries against their defense already in 5 games. Because people say the same thing. Oklahoma is like the Chiefs, right? They're going to go score touchdowns. So people are just saying, let's go for it. And you create an odd system that they use it against you, and then you break your confidence a little bit more. But the Chiefs defense can only improve because right now they are getting dogged in every way possible. You again, Kevin, if you stop them in the red zone, there's 1 year the Chiefs in the last 5 when their defense wasn't great, they said, hey, but we stop them in the red zone. And you go, I give you credit for that. That's 4 points every time you do it, but they're not doing that. They're not stopping on third down. You say, well, we need to be good on first down. Every down, every situation, the Chiefs defense is failing. And it's been really bad. And you can look at no area of the defense and feel good about it right now.
Well, the flip side of that is, and I strongly believe this, Mike Tomlin did this with the Steelers a few years ago when he had a really good offense. I thought it was brilliant. I'd never thought of it. And then I saw him do it. And nobody's picked up on it. Nobody does it. And I don't know why. I think the Chiefs should. If you score the first touchdown of the game, you should go for 2. If the Chiefs got up 8-0, the edge that gives you over your opponent, especially when you have a bad defense like the Chiefs, is tremendous. It forces something on the opponent that they don't want. It forces them at some point to go for 2, and it gives you an edge. If you fail and you're the Chiefs, you know you're scoring another touchdown, Stan. You go for 2 again, and you can get to 14. What are the odds the Chiefs would play a game where their first 2 touchdowns, if they went for 2 on both of them, that they didn't get either one of them and they only scored 12 points? I think that is a ridiculously low possibility, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's the play is right near 50-50 in the NFL, okay, and college. College is at the 3, pros are at the 2, but the pro defenses know how to play defense a little better.
What's the Chiefs' number?
50-50.
What if the Chiefs made that part of their DNA?
They're better than that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The Chiefs are probably 70%. You know? So, no, you're right, and it does put an unbelievable stress on the game. Once you admit that your defense is a problem, you can really stress the other team out. It's not only something to attack with. I know you're just thinking from the offensive standpoint because you talked about this 15 years ago. Attack, attack, do this. Your offense is great. But at some point when you know your defense is a problem, it really can put the game into your advantage right away. Chip Kelly is the guy that deserves all the credit in the world. When he was at Oregon and they were national championship level, he went for two on the first touchdown every time, Kevin. Oftentimes, the face, swinging gates, fake PATs, but you sat back and evaluated. You go, wait a second, he is going to go for it on the first touchdown of every game. And many, many times, putting that big eight on the board just changes the whole dynamics of the game. Because the other team goes like, well, if we get a touchdown, do we have to make a two-point conversion to match you? Are we really going to go take a deep breath and believe in our team? It's so demoralizing to the opponent when you go score eight and their coach just says, kick the PAT and it's 8-7. You're the underdog, right? Chiefs are the favorite every game this year. Oregon was the favorite. And your coach says, go kick the PAT. We'll be behind 8-7. That, no one feels good about that. So then you don't, really? We're going to go for two in the first time? And are we really going to make it? I mean, you're right. You mess with the other team right at the start if you go out and do it. So wait, hey, just advance yourself 5 years. With the trend line the way we are, Kevin, there may be 75% of the teams go for two-point conversions on the first touchdown. Because guess what? In the NFL, the PAT is not easy to make. They're snapping it from the 15-yard line. At some point, they're going to go, why are we kicking a 42-yard field goal or 32-yard field goal? Why are we kicking that instead of going for two? I could see it being a go-for-two game at some point, and the Chiefs might be on the leading edge. It's too early to panic and go down that path, but something needs to be done on the defense. I expect it'll be better at the end of the year when they make their run into the playoffs, and I truly believe the Chiefs are going to be there in the playoffs, even though they stubbed their toe. That said, this is a big week here for the Chiefs to say everything's okay. If they beat Buffalo, we'll be laughing on Monday and say the Chiefs are the best. They've taken on an unbelievably hard top of the schedule. Cleveland and Buffalo, two of the best teams in the AFC, and we beat both of them, we feel fine. But what happens if the Chiefs lose to Buffalo? And it's in play, Kevin. Buffalo's not a good matchup when you're thinking of it from the Bills' standpoint. I don't think they match up well with the Chiefs. I know their defense has two shutouts in the first four games and all of that. I still think it's a hard game for Buffalo to beat the Chiefs. But they have better chance this week than they've had at any time since the Bills have been back. I never thought they would win in that AFC Championship game ever. Not in pregame, not talking about it, not at the game. But now, I'll say to all the fans who are listening and evaluating, there's no reason this isn't a 50-50 game. And in fact, there's no reason why the Bills don't say, I think we're going to win the game. Yeah. If I'm a Bills fan, I think we match up well enough that we can cause the Chiefs some problems. I think the Chiefs are going to have to play well to keep the Bills off of them. This is the perfect setup for the Bills. This isn't playoff pressure, right? This is just everything to gain, nothing to lose. If they lose on Sunday, on the road, Sunday night football, the Bills just go back to work and dominate the AFC East. But if they win this game, then they can start thinking about, that was a major statement. Yeah. We could be the number one seed. I think the Bills are, I'm down on the Bills more than anybody, okay? I think the Bills are a hard out. This is a tough game for the Chiefs.
Well, they're such a balanced team. They did, I don't care who they played, they won 40-0 in the NFL yesterday. It's just impossible to do, and they're really good. So it's going to be a wild one on Sunday night. The Chiefs are not as balanced as the Bills. We'll see what happens. Should be a wild scene and a great game between two very good teams. Let's touch on a little college football, Stan, and I'm going to start with Missouri, which was very disappointed in getting blown out by Tennessee at home on Saturday. And Eli Drinkwitz, who I've been a fan of to this point, did something on Sunday that is not cool, if you ask me. He fired his defensive line coach, Jethro Franklin. We know Missouri can't stop the run. He fires this coach, says he's a good man, we wish him well, blah, 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 blah. He takes his defensive analyst, Al Davis, and promotes him to take over the defensive line. I think this is a terrible look for the head coach. I just don't think you blame this on a defensive line coach. All right, you're the head coach. You're part of the problem too. I just don't like this move at all. You could easily take Franklin and say, look, we're reassigning your duties. We're going to have Al take this over. You stand over there in the corner and not tell anybody. Nobody would have to know. And at the end of the season, you make a change. I think this was kind of chicken crap is what I think it is. And I'm very disappointed in Drinkwitz for doing it.
Well, I don't disagree with what you say at all. And I want to show a comparison that is on the opposite end of the spectrum, and it has to do with Missouri. Gary Pinkel was a coach at Mizzou, and if you go back and look, it wasn't always peaches and cream and Big 12 championship games and SEC championship games, and Missouri being, you know, a top 15 type football program year after year and with great quarterbacks, et cetera. It wasn't always that way. It started with some question marks, some rough patches. And in fact, I think, Kevin, if we remember correctly, he was on the hot seat and thought of maybe going to get fired as the Mizzou coach. But what happened in the off season before that really hot year, and Missouri turned it on and never looked back? They did the basic thing. The athletic department went to him and said, hey, our fans are tired of this. They're disappointed. We don't want to fire you, but you've got to show that you're making changes. Our alumni and our big donors need to see that you're adjusting some things. You're going to need to let some assistants go. And guess what Gary Pinkel did? Said, no, don't blame them. Fire me. Fire me right now or let us stay. I believe in my guys. I'm sticking with my guys. Let's go to work. That is unbelievable. It was the right thing to do. It's why Missouri continued to win. It's why Gary Pinkel is a great coach. But it's the exact opposite here. You don't let people go at midseason. You don't, especially at the worst time of all. That was the worst defensive performance you could ever initiate thought of for Mizzou. It couldn't be worse. Tennessee's okay, but they were gaining yards like there was no defense out there. So that is the worst time. It's a bad look. You should never fire your assistants in season. You shouldn't embarrass them. You shouldn't blame them. You're the head coach. You need to take on things and go fix them. This is a bad, bad look. And Missouri fans are going to get mad at me. I want you to go study your Gary Pinkel stuff, okay? Because it's the exact opposite. Now, Kevin, I don't know if you get a chance to listen at all on College Football Game Day on Saturday mornings, but I want to say to you what I said then for those that weren't listening. Going into this game, I was talking to Danny and saying, Eli Drinkwitz has been given a free pass as a great coach, and Missouri fans and the media all love him and think that he's on his way to possibly being so successful that he leaves Mizzou. That's what they're worried about. And if I were to ask a Missouri fan, well, would you rather have Matt Campbell at Iowa State or would you have Eli Drinkwitz? They would go, Drinkwitz, man, this guy is awesome. We're so glad to have him as our coach. And I said to Danny, do you realize their defense has been awful? Last year, they gave up almost 50 points in their last three games. He's been a great offensive mind. He's a play caller. He's a quarterback guru. He's scoring points. He's got Bazelak really going as a freshman and now a sophomore. All those things are true. And Mizzou's put some good fight in. They don't give up. They come back against Kentucky. They get a nice little drive and a bomb field goal to go to overtime with Boston College. I mean, there's a lot of fight with the Tigers. But I said, I don't understand yet why everyone thinks Eli Drinkwitz is a great coach. I doesn't get that. I don't get that. I said, if they lose to Tennessee today, which Saturday when we're talking, I said, if they lose to Tennessee today, it'll be the first time that Missouri fans drive home or evaluate on Saturday afternoon, hey, maybe he's just a good coach, not a great coach. That's what I said before the game, and it was a complete disaster.
Yeah, it was.
So if you don't have questions about Eli Drinkwitz, why do we think he's a great coach, Kevin? Good guy, funny, does things on offense, but it's hard to win in the SEC. It's hard to win in college football, and I don't know why everyone just assumes Mizzou's going to lay it down and win. I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying he's a good coach, and he was a good coach 3 weeks ago, and even last year. He had an upset over LSU. LSU sucked last year. He had a hard schedule and did a good job, and he went 5-5, Kevin. He went 5-5. That's not a dominating performance. Now, it's almost all SEC opponents. I'm not down on Eli Drinkwitz. I was always middle of the road. I think other people are starting to look that way for the first time,
yeah.
And they better look at it with this move, Kevin. This is not good. Blame others when you're in charge at your weakest moment, when you got exposed of how many problems you have in the program on defense, and to take it out on a position coach, Wow, to me, that is not a good look.
Not a good look at all. Definitely not a good look. All right, Skylar Thompson back in uniform for the Wildcats, played on Saturday, played well. He played very well. Kansas State comes up short against Oklahoma. They got a lot of scrap in them. looks like the Wildcats are a good football team. They've lost two in a row, but I think this is a team that's going to win a bunch of games. Your son Landry had a very good game on Saturday, and he's up for a national award for academics as well, so congratulations to you and him and the family on that. There are no moral victories. Chris Klieman had beaten Oklahoma 2 years in a row. Kansas State wanted to win the game. I think they thought they could win the game. They didn't. Oklahoma was the better football team on Saturday. But it does look like if Skylar Thompson's healthy, there's a bye this week. Iowa State is up next week. It does look like Kansas State's going to win some football games this year.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, you really there's some pain on it because you wanted to win. And down after down, K-State did not look that much different than Oklahoma. With Skylar Thompson there, K-State's a completely different team. He has a real ability to throw an accurate ball, understands pre-snap what play to get into and where the ball needs to go. It makes the K-State receiving core look a lot better. The whole offense just looks a lot better. K-State, people may not realize because they only threw 13 times in the victory earlier against Nevada. K-State threw the ball more than they ran against Oklahoma, and they did a nice job all day long. He missed opportunities, the onside kick that they almost got, surprise onside. They don't get that. Spencer Rattler fumbles the ball in the pocket, but it bounces forward, and he easily gets to go over there and pick it up. A Wildcat doesn't get on it. Landry made a fourth down catch that got called complete and then was reversed with a very close reversal. You know, those kind of things still, there's a lot of pain for me, Kevin, because K-State needs to win these games and had a chance. Don't just go, man, Oklahoma's so great, because they're really not that much different than a lot of teams. But I do think Skylar Thompson is a big difference maker for K-State. The Wildcats have gone through a very hard schedule, and the week off will help. Iowa State's going to be another tough opponent. That game will be forcing the Wildcats to play with a lot of discipline on the defensive side. I think K-State needs a break. But right now, I cannot be unhappy. If you started before the season, Kevin, and evaluated what K-State was going to see in their first five games, most of us would set six, right? Because Iowa State's a tough game. They were thought to be the second-best team, Oklahoma the best, going on the road to Oklahoma State. 21st year out of 25 years, K-State starts Big 12 play on the road. But it sounds like a kind of a loser statement here. But if K-State, if you'd have told me K-State was 3-2 right now, I would not have been unhappy, because I believe Stanford is a legitimate opponent at a neutral site. Okay. They just beat No. 3 Oregon. Okay. Stanford just beat Oregon. I knew Nevada with the NFL quarterback they had would be a really hard team to beat. Oh, guess what? They went to Boise State and won by double digits. And Southern Illinois at the FCS level, I know what type of team they have and what kind of quarterback they have and coach, and they're going to be a big factor in the playoffs there in the Missouri Valley Conference. And other than the K-State game, they've won every game this year. Those are three hard non-cons, and you go to OSU and Oklahoma. K-State needs a break to rest up a little bit. The defense needs to get a little bit better. But with Skylar Thompson, they're in the mix. Now, where do you end up in the mix? Wow, it is hard, because Texas Tech just went on the road to beat West Virginia, and West Virginia stood toe-to-toe with Oklahoma. Baylor and Oklahoma State, what's the difference? TCU, Texas, K-State, almost every team in this conference is the same team other than Oklahoma, who knows how to win. Oklahoma's used to being on stage and everyone giving them their best shot. I always count on them to win the big games or win the championship because the mentality's different there. But everyone else, Kevin, from 2-9, whoa, there's not much difference. So it's like the NFL. We'll see where K-State ends up, but I do feel good about it. If Skylar Thompson's there, K-State does have a passing game, and therefore they have a chance. Right now, the defense is struggling a little bit, and I think a week off will be really important. It's been a hard 5 weeks. They're playing a new defensive scheme, and their best player, Daniel Green, has been knocked out of two games with targeting. And so, you know, do you realize, Kevin, if you get a third targeting in college football, you get penalized a whole game? It's like an accumulation foul. They have that. A lot of people don't know that rule about targeting. So I think that's something to keep in mind. I hope Daniel Green isn't too worried about having that third targeting, because they need him to fly around the field and make plays. He's a difference maker for K-State. But don't forget, if you were him and if both targetings you had were super close and you weren't cheap-shotting anybody, wouldn't you have a little doubt in your mind? Wouldn't you be a little concerned about getting a third one? So let's just hope that's not getting into the head of Daniel Green, because they need him to play well.
Stan, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate it. It was the Chiefs saved our weekend. Everybody else lost again this weekend, so the Chiefs saved it. And we look forward to Sunday night's game and the college football season continuing. You are awesome, buddy. I really appreciate your time, and thanks for breaking it all down for us.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for letting me talk some football. And you should have fun this week because you're coming off a Chiefs win heading into a giant Sunday night game. So your podcasts have a lot of reasons to be listened to. But this is going to be a super fun week to listen to Kevin Kiesman has issues.
I have issues, buddy. We know that. So it's all good. Thank you, friend. Appreciate
you, you. You let everybody know about them. That's what's cool.
That's exactly right. Just lay it out there, man. Thank you, buddy.
That's right.
All right.
Okay, take care.
All right. Bye-bye. There is Stan Weber. He's the best in the biz, man, breaking football down. And that is our football feast. We got much more coming up, presented by Elite Automation, online at eliteautomate.com. Call Brad and his team at Elite Automation to make your building great again. 913-766-2188 is the number to call. Online at eliteautomate.com. Save on those energy costs. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike or Tim on the showroom floor or shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. Window World. Window World is simply the best for less. 0% financing available right now on American-made windows and doors. If you go to windowskansascity.com, you can see everything they have. Get in touch with the official window provider of the Kansas City Chiefs. It is Window World, simply the best for less. 816-799-0820 and amazinggaragefloors.net. Call John Hutchins at Amazing Garage Floors, 913-901-7139, and get that garage floor you've always wanted at amazinggaragefloors.net. Okay, a lot going on in the NFL this weekend. The Chiefs get the win. I think the headline for me is we're a month in. The Chiefs are 2-2. They haven't won or lost anything at this point. The season is so far from being determined. And to put that in perspective, we watched Tennessee lose to the Jets. The Titans are 2-2. They've lost to a team that didn't have a win, a bad football team, the Jets. And the Titans are in first place at 2-2. The Chiefs are in last place at 2-2. The Raiders and Chargers play on Monday night. We'll see how that goes. I like the Chargers in that game. I think everybody in the AFC is going to have a loss after this game on Monday night. If the Raiders lose, the Chiefs are one game back of the best record in the AFC. So nothing, again, nothing has been won or lost at this point. Denver played a real opponent for the first time, and they got drilled. I don't think Denver is all that. I don't think they're very good, in fact. So as they play better teams, Denver's going to lose a lot of football games. We saw the Brady-Belichick game on Sunday night. My takeaway from that is Belichick is an amazing football coach. I mean, I felt like this was going to be a close game all the way, a low-scoring game. I liked it that way from the jump, and it played out that way. Brady got the win, but he threw 19 incomplete passes in this game, and they only scored 19 points. It was hard for Tom Brady. It was hard for Tampa. So maybe a script is out there to show the NFC how to deal with the Buccaneers. The story of the NFL, I guess, right now is the Arizona Cardinals. They just put a whooping on the Rams on Sunday, and they go to 4-0. They're the only 4-0 team in football. The Arizona Cardinals are 4-0. They have the best record, and it was easy. I've not been a giant believer of Kyler Murray, and I certainly have not been a believer in Cliff Kingsbury. If he had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech and couldn't win with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback at Texas Tech, how's he going to win with Kyler Murray in the NFL? Well, they're doing it. I had a long discussion with a friend yesterday who said, I think Arizona's for real. I think they're for real. I said, maybe, but I'm not there yet. Four games doesn't do it for me. You can win four games, and it's a long season, and 6 weeks from now, be a completely different football team after everybody sees what you're doing. It's all on tape. You don't make adjustments and start losing. But I got to give Arizona credit. They didn't just beat the Rams. They didn't win 19-17 like Tampa did on Sunday night. They put a beat down on the Rams. That was a mismatch. That was a wallop in a division game, which typically, and that's a very good division, typically in that division we see teams, you know, that division played each other yesterday. Seattle and San Francisco played as well. And in that division, you see very, very close games. What we saw was Seattle and Arizona showed some separation. They look like they're better than the other teams. We'll see how it plays out over the season. But in the NFC, keep your eye on the Arizona Cardinals of all teams. Chiefs play Buffalo on Sunday night. And it's Monday. I'm just going to say it. I don't like the Chiefs in this game. I don't. I don't think you can be as one-dimensional as the Chiefs are and beat good teams consistently. The Chiefs have no defense. Buffalo will score. Buffalo has two shutouts this year. They're a balanced football team. It's hard to do in the salary cap era. It's hard to be good on both sides of the ball. It's hard to be a balanced football team. what Buffalo looks like. Certainly their offense is not as good as the Chiefs, but it's very good. And their defense is outstanding. You're shutting teams out in the NFL. That's ridiculous. In 2021, that's ridiculous. So this is a great defense. Let's not mince words. This is a great defense. I think if the Chiefs score 27 points in this one, they've done very well. But I don't know if 27 points is going to be enough this week. This is a hard game. Buffalo won 40-0 on Sunday. In today's NFL, 40-0. Absolutely crazy. So this is a heck of a matchup. And if the Bills win this, there's no question if the Bills win Sunday night, they become the favorite in the AFC. They become the team to beat. They're in an easier division than the Chiefs. There's a lot to like about them. And, you know, I felt pretty good a couple weeks ago. I said, look, the Ravens don't beat the Chiefs. They just don't beat them. Well, then they did. And we can say the same thing about Buffalo. They just haven't been able to beat the Chiefs. But maybe they can. The Chiefs are not very good defensively, and that's a problem. Schedule is front-loaded. A lot of good teams here up front. Browns, Chargers, Ravens, Bills. Four of your first five opponents. Killer schedule the Chiefs have. Killer. Killer. But it's also the best home schedule I've ever seen in Kansas City in my lifetime. The home games this year, unbelievable. Buy a ticket, go to a game. Unbelievable home schedule. And they got a game added when they went to 17 games, and the game added is the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, for crying out loud, who's a freak and was fantastic on Sunday. So here we go. It's on. It is on in the NFL, and the Chiefs have the Bills coming up on Sunday. If you have not listened to Friday's podcast about a fellow listener and his family and what they're going through right now, I would strongly encourage you to hit the play button on that episode from Friday about James Bishop. We encourage you to sign up for the ALS Walk in Kansas City. Just Google ALS Walk KC. It pops right up. If you could possibly donate to James Bishop's page, just there's a little box there that says support a walker. And then you type in James Bishop, and it pops right up, and you could donate $10, $20, $50. Some of you more than that. We're over $7,000 raised for James's walk team on Saturday. Looking forward to being at Kauffman Stadium for the ALS walk on Saturday morning with James and his family. It is a remarkable story of courage and optimism and generosity. And I hope you will listen to that podcast. If you have not listened to it from Friday, I would encourage you to do so. And I would ask that you help this walk team and support it any way you can by either coming out and walking, getting your own donors, or just coming out and supporting and saying hi, or making a donation. We would greatly appreciate that. The ALS walk in Kansas City is Saturday at Kauffman Stadium. We're supporting Bishop's Brawlers, James Bishop, a longtime listener and friend of all the broadcasts and a patron of KKHI, has ALS, as does his brother. And he lost his father and his grandfather to this disease. And all he's not asking for sympathy or anything like that. All he's asking for is support and finding a cure, because he doesn't want the next generation of his family to have to deal with this. And that is an incredibly brave man. So I would encourage you to listen to that podcast and support the cause if you possibly can. It's the ALS Walk in Kansas City. A couple of other fun notes here. In the sports world, we get a real bonus. And I've in baseball for a long time, I've not liked the power structure of baseball, big market teams dominating, you know, having all the money and everything. The Yankees dominated throughout the 90s and early 2000s, and there was a lot of disparity. Baseball's in a better place. We've got maybe the two most famous baseball organizations playing in a wild card game Tuesday night. The Yankees at the Red Sox, one game to go on and face Tampa in an American League Division Series. That's incredible drama. That is so good for baseball. I can't wait to watch that game. Have you noticed the other wild card game? We talked about the Cardinals' winning streak. The Cardinals, at the beginning of September, were one game over 500. They finished 18 over and made the wild card. They went on a crazy 17-game streak. They won all these games. They get in the wild card game. They're facing a team that if they were in their division, they would have finished 16 games behind the Dodgers. This is incredible. I know that Kansas City, a lot of us don't follow baseball other than the Royals, who finished with 74 wins this year. We don't follow a lot of it. This is incredible. The Dodgers won 106 games, and it went down to the last game of the season, and they're a wild card because the Giants won 107 games and won the division. That's nuts. These are the two best teams in baseball, and the Dodgers are a wild card. I don't know if baseball wants to address that. I don't know if it's a problem. It seems a shame to me that you go out and win 106 games and you have a one-game playoff to get into a series, which is what the Dodgers have. The Cardinals basically pulled the rabbit out of the hat. The Dodgers have been great all year. They won 106 games and their season could just end with a thud. With one loss to the Cardinals, it's all over for the Dodgers. But the baseball postseason is here. Well, I'm ending today's podcast with a lottery story because Powerball is worth over $700 million Monday night. They've added a Monday drawing. So now it's Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. There's a Monday drawing. Nobody has won Powerball since June. That's crazy. Nobody's won it since June. So here it is, $700 million. If you want to go get a Powerball ticket, you might as well get in and play. Make a joke with the clerk that if I win, I'll come back and share it with you or do whatever. What the heck would you do with $700 million? I mean, really. $700 million Powerball, Monday night drawing. Count me in. I'm going to get one ticket. I think I'm gonna get a new system. I think I'm going to pick my numbers and just stick with them. I think the quick pick, the computer pick, is not the way to go for me. I think I'm going to pick my favorite numbers and turn in the same ticket every single time and see if that works. There seems to be a lot of that. In the lottery stories that I do on the Patreon post on the weekends, a lot of these lottery winners play the same numbers every week and wait for them to hit. Maybe I'll start doing that. Maybe I'll pick some birthdays, some numbers that I like, and go with it. Maybe that starts today, and we'll see if we can win the $700 million Powerball. How amazing would that be to get a chunk of that? As always, thank you so much for listening to KKHI. Please hit the like or follow button if you have not done that and become a follower of the podcast. You'll get notifications when it's up every day, when it's published. And tell your friends about it and show them how to hit follow and like. We really appreciate it as the word is spreading. There's a lot going on in news this week. We've obviously got Biden's going to try to push through this $5 trillion deal and all this other stuff going on. We'll be addressing that on the future podcast, but there's your football feast on Monday, which is always fun after the weekend. We have Stan Weber on. We appreciate you joining us right here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.